Hey, welcome back to today's edition of State of the Arts. I'm Richard Finnegar.
And I'm Peggy Nelson.
And we're here every Friday, courtesy of WPKN Radio, 89.5 on your FM dial, and we stream worldwide, wherever you might be, at WPKN.org. And we just got off the line with Gerard Haynes, who plays Bigger in the production of Native Son at the Yale Repertory Theater. And right now, we're going up to Hartford, and we're going to be talking with, and he's on the line with us right now, Michael Preston, who
Hello,
is the
Richard
new Scrooge. How are you?
Hi, Michael.
I'm great, thank you.
How are things going?
Things are going well. I think I'm finally getting used to being Scrooge for two straight hours.
Do the lines for Mr. Marvel come back to you every once in a while?
They do. I notice that I'm saying them along to him in my head. And I say to him, oh, well, you missed that one.
Oh my God. But it isn't a case of, what was it, Christopher Durang's the Actor's Nightmare, where you go out, oh, am I Mr. Marvel or am I Scrooge?
Yeah. Not yet.
Okay, good. Good. You know, I have to tell you, and I haven't seen it yet, but we've had Bill on the show a number of times over the years. And I thought, oh, you know, I bet Michael is very tired of being compared to Bill and what he did and all that. And you got to watch him all the time that you were in the show for, what, 9 years as Mr. Marvel?
Well, it was 7 years.
Or seven years. Not okay.
Nine. But, you know, Bill, I have a funny relationship with Bill, because when I first came to New York in 1982, one of the shows I saw was his Cold Harbor, which was his take on Ulysses S. Grant. It was a one-person show that he did through Mabu Mines, I believe. And I saw that, and that I remember totally thinking, that's who I want to be.
Oh.
That's who I want to be as an actor, and kind of how I want, that's the kind of work I want to do with my life. And so I had met him, I worked as with the John Sayles crowd as a grip for a while, and then I was in a few of his movies in small parts. But I met him on set once, and then I was like, I would always want to work with Bill. And when they asked me to do Mr. Marvel, I was like, yes, please. I want to work with Bill. And then I started talking with him and realized he'd been kind of very seriously physically trained, somewhat as I have, in clowning and in mime and things like that. So I was like, because I found him to be such a great clown, and it was like, how did you get that? It was a joy for me to kind of watch him work, and he came to opening night.
Oh, he did.
And he was totally gracious.
Oh,
and,
how nice.
It was really very nice for me, because I was worried, you know, we were going in different directions at times. I'm not trying to be Bill, but I think the whole sense I have about the piece and his heart is what I'm trying to capture, actually.
Yeah, and you know, I saw Bill do the part maybe three different times, I believe, and so I haven't seen you, and I can't wait. I was hoping to be able to see it this year, but I don't think that's going to happen. My goal is to bring my grandchildren, and they just have to get a little bit older.
Oh, great!
And so hopefully it's going to happen next year, and hopefully you'll still be there.
Yeah, maybe they'll fire me, but
But really, they're so it's so theatrical, and that's what I love about Hartford's production. The costumes
it's incredibly theatrical.
Yes. And so it's not just a little ghost. I mean, it's you know, the chains and the whole thing. And that's why I'm, you know, a little bit cautious about the age. What do you think? And I asked Bill Raymond the same question, but what do you think is a good age for
kids? I think, you know, it really depends. I've been saying to all my friends, if you're Rachel, who's the director, she has a kid who she brought last year, and he thoroughly enjoyed it. And he was 3 and a half or four, but it really depends if they've seen a lot of stuff and if they like being titillated and scared.
Yes.
So I, you know, I'd say generally around six or something is a good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think Bill said, six or seven.
Yeah.
But
there are some kids who are four who totally love it because they're already into that kind of different, the spirit world. And
well, some of the stuff they see on television, I mean, my gosh, yeah. I can't believe
right.
it.
Right. So can you hear the reaction of children in the audience? And I'm sure in the past you, but now that you have this major role, are you able to really listen in to anything?
Yeah, I might, you know, my having worked with the Flying Karamazov brothers for all these years, we learn so much from an audience that I do hear people's reactions. It doesn't, you know, I don't play for them exactly, but I really am seeing if they're paying attention. And I love it when I hear the kids kind of give a very honest reaction mm-hmm. to whatever is going on.
Right, whether it's giggling or gasping, right?
Or gasping or being totally silent and knowing that they're getting one of the emotional moments also.
Oh, that's true. Oh. You know, out of the mouths of babes. I mean, exactly. you can't be more honest with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
And we have a sensory-friendly performance that we gave December 2nd,
right.
last Saturday.
Yeah, how did that go?
It's great, and you know, it's always a very, very, very honest crowd, and they're making a lot of different sounds. What I noticed with them is the emotional things got the sounds going and the moans. I mean, it was so honest, and it was kind of shocking to all of us mm-hmm. trying to do some stuff, and then it's like, oh. Maybe I'm going too far here because they're really getting upset in a way. But it was a great crowd and it was very full. They've been every year; those have been getting fuller and fuller. So mm-hmm. it's a great sense of bringing in people who normally don't get to go to the theater.
Right, and we do talk about that Hartford Stage is that. Participating in that kind of performance is so important and so inclusive.
Yeah. And it's allowing people to come to the theater mm-hmm. who sort of feel like they're excluded from regular performances.
Right.
And it lets them know, okay, I'm going to be there with other people who are like me and other families who understand. And it's really a great opportunity.
It is. And it's the idea that, you know, you don't have to act like there's not a, I don't know, I always feel like there's a bit, we do a lot of school shows, and sometimes you can tell the schools have told their kids to be quiet and just sit there and listen. It's like, no. You're kids. Be raucous.
Have a good time with it. Be part of it
for us.
What have you been able to incorporate in A Christmas Carol that you did at one time or another with the Flying Karamazov brothers?
Well, it's a good... I mean, there's a little juggling thrown in and a little balancing of objects thrown in. So I always like to, you know, the theatricality of this production, like you were saying, includes things like that. But I always am interested in trying to do those things that in the way that they further the story.
Sure.
You know, so that they're about Scrooge's redemption and his joy mm-hmm. at finding out that he's still alive mm-hmm. when the night is over. Things can happen that I can express in that kind of vaudevillian way. But the main thing that I feel like I learned in the Karamazov world, even though it was very, you know, we did a lot of juggling, but people can only watch that much juggling, so it was only about 30 minutes, and then we do, you know, an hour and a half of anything else we could think of to do to entertain people. And it always included for me trying to do as many different things as possible. And the Scrooge, this part is so great because it's so closed off and so anti the world and anti people, and then it ends up in pure joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of bowled me over on how important that journey is and how kind of amazing it is as an actor to get to play that, because it's not often, even on big parts, usually, you know, you're Lear and you die, or your Hamlet and you die. I mean, it's not often that you get to end up in such joy.
Right. So,
right. And I think as an actor that must be the thrill of it, because you go through so many transformations throughout the show.
Yeah.
And you build to that joyful person that we haven't even seen an inkling of for the first half of the play.
And it's, you know, there's a lot of loss in his life, of loss of his childhood and the closing down of it. And I'm always very moved by seeing the past and, you know, even in my own life, the things that no longer, you know, people who aren't around anymore, in the sense that you can sense them again and see them again, is always an incredibly moving thing for me.
And how many times do we wish we could?
Yeah, we're always wishing we could. Yeah. You know, what's the Shakespeare play? Is it Twelfth Night that she, or Winter's Tale, where the statue comes to life at the end? And I remember seeing Diane Venora do it in New York, and I just wept. It was like, you know, the person that you thought was dead for 20 years or 30 years is actually alive again.
Right.
What a wonderful thing.
It is. Let me go back to the Flying Karamazov Brothers. How did you get involved in that to begin with?
I moved to New York, as I was like saying, to be an actor. And I worked mainly downtown in kind of the experimental scene. And there was a circus school in Hoboken, New Jersey, next to a boxing gym that I was living in Hoboken, and I kept going past it, and I thought, well, I need to check this out. So I went in, and these two crazy Russians, Gregory and Nina, who'd been in the Moscow State Circus and had emigrated over to the States, were running it, and I started going there kind of as night classes. Getting trained in juggling and wire walking and physical things that I found incredibly fun to do. And I thought, well, I always thought theater should be physical. So that I started getting work as a clown and going off with circuses, a circus called Circus Flora, based in St. Louis. And the guy who kind of, the producer who started Big Apple, was one of the people that got it to Lincoln Center, started it.
And
I had paid better than working in New York. So the circus. So I started doing circus to pay for coming back and doing my experimental stuff down at La Mama. And then the Karamazovs came along. They were looking to do a new play about this, kind of about the time in the Moulin Rouge and all the different vaudeville acts back then. But it was more of a play, and the director, Robert Woodruff, was really looking for an actor. So he cast me, and then they found out I could juggle, and one of the founding members was leaving, and they asked me to stay with them. So it kind of really wrapped both sides of my life together.
I guess so.
In a wonderful way. And, you know, we did 250 to 280 shows a year for a while.
Wow.
Which was really, I think, my most essential training. It was like, it was learning craft by being in front of people, and that was essential to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that just gave you an incredible sense of, yes, I can do this.
Yeah.
If I can do it here, I can do it anywhere, kind of feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did really try anything and everything. So, and I love the kind of parameters of learning things physically. Or, you know, if you juggle, you better juggle well.
Right.
Not to say that we didn't drop and we had fun with dropping, but you know, you have to do these things well, these skills. So it's a real dedication. I felt it always makes me feel a little more like a musician that needs to keep playing scales and doing that, and kind of being an actor just waiting for a next role to come by.
Now, what I remember about seeing the Flying Karamazov Brothers, that you could sometimes really go way over the top.
Yes.
And are you able to do that with Scrooge, or do you play it straight so that people know that, yes, I'm going to appreciate what you do at the end, or how you end up at the end of the play?
I think I'm I'm trying to be, I'm trying to, especially in the first half, kind of be meaner and straighter and little more cut off and not caring about the world than maybe Bill was in the past. Or it just to me, it made sense. And to Rachel, it made sense that the journey is a long one, so that that where I start off and where I end up are really far apart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the over-the-top stuff, I really do save, I would say, for the end.
Okay.
Yeah. That's...
Now, let me just let our listeners know the Rachel that you're referring to is Rachel Alderman.
Yes.
Who directed the production. It's adapted and originally directed by Michael Wilson, who used to be the artistic director at Hartford Stage.
Right.
And then when he left, and now Rachel, I believe, has been doing it for the last couple of years.
She's been doing it for the last couple of years, and she has been Michael's assistant director on numerous productions.
Right.
Okay. And Michael actually came back for 4 or 5 days during our rehearsal process, which was fabulous to have the kind of his knowledge and incredibly... love for this topic and for the play, to have him there and really kind of leading us and allowing us. Nobody ever said to me, you know, do it like Bill did it. It was like, let's find your own, let's see what works for you, and we'll see what, make it sure it works for the play. So that was great. And they were working beautifully together, so that was great, too.
One of the things that I read in the stage notes, we talked about the fact that you said playing Scrooge is really a dream come true to you, and then you also went on to say that it's even more important in this particular world that we're in, the idea that change is possible and that the spirit of humanity resides in even the most troubled being.
Yes, I do feel...
Who were you talking about?
Well,
it's pretty profound.
I think we all know.
It's pretty profound, and I feel like we talked a lot about, you know, if the person at the top is not functional, it makes the entire polity, the entire community, not be able to relax.
Ever. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're so much going through that right now.
Right. It has to trickle down from the top.
It does. It always trickles down
from
the top. And so the idea of Scrooge changing and being redeemed and understanding that he can change, even where in the beginning you think this is, you know, a vile person who's never going to change. And that's something I think Bill really had. He made the audience want him to change.
Right.
And I've tried to keep the glint in my eye there that let the audience know that underneath it all there's something that's worth changing. Because I think we have to want Scrooge to change. I remember seeing the George C. Scott one, and he was mean. And I was like, I don't care if he changed. I just don't want to see him anymore.
Right.
Kind of
feeling. Yes, you're right, because as an audience, you have to have some empathy for the mean person. You know, you have to have him somewhere in your heart to understand and want him to transition.
Right.
Which may make it hard for that guy way up
and,
there.
I hope that. And at this time of year, I wasn't always totally a Christmas person, but I do feel that more and more. It is nice. This production does what it's meant to do, which is kind of bring a community of parents and kids and art students and actors and teachers and everybody together for a couple of months a year. And I do think it makes the audience be able to kind of stop and think about things and remember that we can be our better selves also and not just our warring selves all the time.
Right.
We're talking about A Christmas Carol, A Ghost Story of Christmas, adapted from the Charles Dickens story and originally directed by Michael Wilson, currently directed by Rachel Alderman, and it's running now through December 30. at Hartford Stage at 50 Church Street in Hartford, Connecticut. And you can call the box office at 860-527-5151, or you can go to their website of hartfordstage.org and get more information. Michael, we really appreciate your taking the time to join us. It sounds like it's been a wonderful experience for you. And I know you've got some wonderful performances coming up through December 30. We wish you all the best and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, and thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure. Thank you.
It's been great. Thank
you. Okay, right. Bye.
Bye.
Two completely different guests today, but that's what makes it nice, I think.
Terrific.
And that's theater. It really is.
And there's
is.
So much happening in the lobby at the Hartford Stage. You know, they're celebrating 20 years.
They have those markets in the lobby.
Yeah, so it's you know, they've got all sorts of other things going on. There's a Tiny Tim's holiday food drive, which they have every year.
Right.
So if you're able to participate in that, they'll talk about that on the website as well.
And they still have more performances coming.